I don't know if you've experienced something similar, but looking back on my life, every time it seems like every time I've been in a really wonderful place, spiritually, or really wonderful, happy, seemingly perfect place in my life, inevitably some kind of tragedy or trauma or crisis happens. You know, things are going really, really, really well. I couldn't be happier, and then something blows up and becomes so difficult. And it's happened so many times like that, that now whenever things get good and things are going wonderfully, I'm already thinking in the back of my head, uh-oh, what's coming? Oh Lord, please not again. I don't know if you've experienced anything like that. And then of course, when this crisis trauma thing happens, all we're consumed with was the horrors of what's happening in the moment and how scary or frightful or concerning things are. And we completely forget how wonderful things were just a few weeks ago. We are completely lost in the tragedy of the moment and oblivious, forgetful of the grace and blessings and the strength we had just a short time ago. Well, this is similar to what's happening in the gospel today. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. He's told the apostles repeatedly, I will be handed over to the leader by the leaders of our own community. I will be tortured and I will be killed, but I will rise on the third day. And he tells the apostles this repeatedly, and they don't get it. And the few times they do understand, their response is to fight over, well, when he's dead, who's going to be more important among us? And still he continues to Jerusalem. He knows the great scandal of his arrest, crucifixion, and death. And he knows how that will impact the apostles profoundly. And so on the way to Jerusalem, as a means to strengthen their faith, to not forget the glory that is to come, he gives James and John, the brothers, and Peter a vision of his glory to come, a vision of their glory to come, so that they can hold on to that and remember that when he is naked, crucified on a tree, buried and dead. But if they forget that, they might deny him. Peter did. If they forget that, right, they may abandon him. James did. John didn't forget. He alone stood at the foot of the cross throughout his passion and helped lower his body from the cross and bury it in the tomb. If we forget, anything's possible. And so he gives them this vision of his glory, a vision that speaks more than just his glory. The vision tells them and shows them definitively that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. That's why Elijah and Moses are there. Moses is the father of the law, right? The traditionally understood author of the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then Elijah is the great prophet who didn't experience death but was carried up in a chariot of fire to the heavens. And Peter, James, and John, seeing Jesus speak with Moses and Elijah, immediately know he is the fulfillment and perfection of the law and the prophets. Jesus is what the prophets foretold. He is a living embodiment of the word of God. He is the word made flesh, not the 10 words that God gave Moses, i.e. the commandments, but literally the eternal word of God made flesh. And so Peter is in this ecstatic state, right? Like we can be in the best moment of our lives. And what does he say? Hey, let's stay here. We can just build an altar here and pray here every day and never leave this mountain. I never want to leave this experience. I never want this to change. And we can all feel that way when things are going really well, right? We don't want it to stop. We don't want it to change. We don't want it to end. Maybe you're on vacation, or maybe you're at your kid's wedding or your child's birth or whatever it might be. And can we just make this last forever? And naturally, this is Peter's desire, right? And God the Father cuts him off. Peter's not even done saying, hey, let's stay here, build some altars and never leave. This is perfect. He's probably thinking in the back of his mind, let's not go to Jerusalem, because whatever he was talking about, I didn't like. It didn't make me feel good. So let's just stay here. And God the Father cuts him off. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And then he tells them this critical point, listen to him. Why? Because if you listen to the prophets and you listen to the law, Jesus is the perfection of both. When you obey him, you will experience the transfiguration one day, even if you have to go through Jerusalem. Not if, when you go through Jerusalem. And this is the key point here. Listen to him. When you obey my son for your sake, then when Jerusalem happens in your life, the tragedy or death, none of us will escape it, no matter how powerful or wealthy we are, you will not forget the transfiguration. You will not forget the glory that has been revealed to you. You will not forget the glory that will come to you. But in order for that to happen, you must trust me by listening to him. And when God says, listen to him, he's not saying, consider what my son says and think about it. Maybe you might like to do that or not. All right, listen to him means to obey. Obey my word for your sake, not mine. When I keep the Ten Commandments, God isn't more God. He's not more divine, more powerful. He's not glorified in himself more when I keep his commandments. I am. I benefit when I keep his commands. I become free from the passions and temptations of this world and within myself so that I can live in his love and figure out what he wants for my life, rather than making prayer simply telling him what I want and that he better do for me. And that's the major transition here. Lord, why did you make me? What is my purpose in this life? What is your will for me? You created me. Tell me, Lord, what do you want? How can I be the most happy I could possibly be? I know that'll only happen if I do your will. So speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And this is what Father Abraham does in the first reading. The first reading, the Old Testament and the gospel is always connected. When the bishops revamped the liturgy after the Second Vatican Council, they added way more scripture in the Mass than had ever been read before. And they intentionally connected the Old Testament with the gospel to show the inseparability and the essential relationship between the Old and the New Testament, saying in the Second Vatican Council that the New Testament is hidden in the Old and the Old is made manifest in the New in the document on Divine Revelation, Dei Verbum. And so we see Abraham doing exactly what God told Peter, James, and John to do. Listen to him, listen to me. And the Lord called Abraham, go forth, leave your land, leave your family, leave your father's house. Leave your inheritance, leave everything that you know, and go somewhere you've never been before. What? But I have a big family. I will make you a great nation. But my father is well known. This is his land. These are his flocks. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. But we are in peace with our neighbors, and our enemies no longer pursue us. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. But this has been our land forever. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you if you listen to me. And so Abraham, our father in the faith, leaves everything. It makes no sense. He follows this voice of God to I don't know where, but he goes because he trusts the Father's voice more and his will than everything he has. I trust your voice, Lord. I trust your will more than my name and my family and my land and my home and everything that I have. I know and I believe that you will be a greater blessing to me than what I already have if I listen to you. And so Abraham goes and he becomes the father of faith for all the monotheistic religions. Father Abraham is the father of the Muslims, our Muslim brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers and sisters, and of all Christianity. Maybe you knew the song in kindergarten. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. Let's all praise the Lord, right? Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Father Abraham is our one common father in the faith. He brings us together. He's that source of peace as war rages in the Middle East, as radical extremists pretend and propose that religion is the cause or the motivation for doing great harm to their neighbor, contrary to the tenets of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. When we listen to God's voice and not our own, when we obey his commands and not our desires, when we seek his will and not insisting on what I want, That's when everything changes. That's when we are transfigured and conformed to Christ. So that when Jerusalem happens, and it will happen again to all of us, when that crisis comes, when that tragedy happens, when that horrific event realizes itself in our lives, we won't forget. I know who I am. I know who my Father is. I know the glory that awaits. I have seen it before. I was living it just a few weeks ago. I can get through this. There is life on the other side of this. It's what carries us through when we get completely consumed and depressed and tempted with suicidal ideations and wanting it to all end. We cling to the glory we had experienced just a short time before. God always strengthens us before tragedy. Jesus did so for the apostles as they headed to Jerusalem. And just a few days later, he would be nailed to that tree. Peter forgot for a time and he denied him. James forgot for a time and he abandoned him. Only John, the youngest, remembered. We know he remembered because he wouldn't leave his side. He held on to his mother as Christ suffered and breathed his last and took Mary into his home. The model of what it means to be a Christian. Jesus, your mother is mine and I am her son, just as I am your brother through baptism. John stayed with him and took Mary into his home. And that's what we must do, the gifts that come even in the face of moments of tragedy. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. John experienced and lived this because he would not forget. So the next time you find yourself experiencing a Jerusalem moment, tragedy, heartbreak, horrible circumstances, remember. Remember the blessings that were just were a few days or weeks ago. Remember the glory of Christ revealed when we keep his commands. Because if we can listen to God as he commanded Peter, James, and John at the Transfiguration, if we can not only hear his voice but obey it as Abram did, then we too can become a part of that great family of Father Abraham, the father of nations, the sons and daughters of God, who through Jerusalem know that it is only through death to ourselves, by keeping God's commands, that we can experience the glory of the resurrection in our lives. We can't get to heaven except by death. May every transfiguration experience in your life be a reminder that you cling to get you through Jerusalem to the other side, when we will finally be home.